but how are new batteries developed in the first place?
My name is Christine Pearson. I work at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California. I look at materials and I try to predict their properties from quantum mechanics in a computer and see if they work well for batteries. While we have lithium-ion batteries that work today, they're too expensive or they have too little energy density, depending on how you want to see it, to be actually viable as electric cars for the everyday person.
So although we think batteries have got enormously better now, because, I mean, the phones that we're walking around with are drawing so much current that you could never manage something like that 10 years ago, we can do that now. But even so, a car is a totally different kettle of fish.
Yeah, you need a ton more. I mean, if you look at the battery packs for electric vehicles, the whole car is stuffed with them. They have a problem finding space for these things. They're putting them underneath the seats and stuff to make place for them. They're huge. So if we can find materials that are smaller, you know, less volume or cheaper or have more energy density per volume, that would help.
And how are you trying to do that?
So I try to design new materials in the computer, and I can calculate the properties that are important for battery electrode materials, like voltage and capacity and stability, and they release oxygen at basically safety. I can calculate all those properties, and I can screen the materials and find the ones that actually work well as electrode materials, and then I can ask my colleagues to try and make them.
So your work basically happens inside a computer. You are taking a molecular structure or an ionic structure, and you then ask, how would this perform under various conditions?
Exactly.
And you're trying this for lots of different chemicals. You basically pluck stuff off the periodic table and say, well, what combos are going to give the right sort of voltage and the right sort of energy density?
Yeah, and, you know, we partly use our own intuition, but we also have by now a huge database of more than 100,000 computed structures, and we can data mine that and see which structures are usually stable, which elements give good voltage in the voltage ranges that we're interested in, and so on, and we can sort of filter down the different possibilities.
Have you come up with any promising ones?
We actually have. We have a few that we predicted to be promising. We asked our people in the lab to make them. They were actually able to make a few of them. They're not performing as well as we would like them to yet, so they're not contenders for being good, but they are performing as battery materials.
What do you think's wrong?
It's hard to know. If you had asked Professor Goodenough from Texas what was wrong with lithium iron phosphate when he first found it, he would have said basically, oh, everything. It's a bad material. It takes a long time to optimize these things. It could be anything from interaction with the electrolyte, surface properties. It could also be that some of the things that we predict, for example, phase stability as you move lithium in and out, is not quite as well characterized as we would like it to be.
This sounds very reminiscent of the way in which drug discovery and design has gone, because in the old days, people used to do a bit of clever chemistry, make something, and then inject it into a rat to see what happened. These days, people take molecules that they know could exist, they screen them against targets, things that we know about various cells and so on, and pick out the juicy-looking ones, give them to a chemist to make, and then try them. So this is sort of the battery equivalent of making Viagra or something.
You're exactly right. We got the idea from the drug discovery process, and we're actually calling our giant project the materials genome.
And do you use the same sort of approach they do then?
In a sense, yes. So we compute everything that we know in nature and the properties of these materials, and then we data mine to see which ones actually correlate with good behavior, the ones that we're looking for. Yeah.
How long do you think it'll be before you come up with something that will mean that my phone weighs a good deal less and can do a good deal more?
That's a good question. So on average, it takes about 15 years for material from discovery to it hitting the market. So if I find something today, it'll take 15 years before you have it in your hand.
Even so, we've still come a long way since the voltaic pile, that's for sure. That was Christine Pearson from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory.